Yeah.
This is Louisa Clarence Smith from Estates Gazette, and I'm speaking to Keep Moat Chief Executive Dave Sheridan following the publishing of the Housing White Paper this afternoon. Dave, obviously, you know, quite a big day for Build to Rent being recognised in national policy. I know that's an area which you've gone into recently. What was your kind of initial reaction to the changes there?
I mean, it's a welcome change because if we're going to achieve the volume of homes we need to build in the UK, going for a single tenure solution was never deliverable. There's people who want a mortgage, can afford a mortgage but can't get a mortgage. And there's also people who become much more transient and rental is their solution. So without having a rented solution, they were never going to achieve the volumes that they wanted to achieve. So it's a very sensible move in terms of policy from our perspective.
Was there anything in this document that you've seen so far and had a chance to analyse which is going to actually influence your own strategy?
We'll potentially look in more detail at the offsite modular. We are exploring it, but we might put a bit more energy into it now with the sort of incentives, if you like, to move in towards that space. And we'll also probably become more active with the RPs again, because I believe they'll become much more encouraged by the move towards more rent and the mixed tenure approach. So it certainly will stimulate some activity at our end.
Great. And one of the, you know, much sort of talked about policies in this kind of more secure long-term tenancies for renters, which I understand, you know, has actually got mixed reviews from the industry. As a developer and as a landlord, what's your view on those?
Well, we're not a landlord as such because we employ third-party partners to manage any properties that we do for rent. It is a bit mixed because, I mean, the more rights to the tenancies, sometimes the more reluctant some of the investors, because they just want to make sure that the properties are managed in the best way. For us, we're probably neutral on it because obviously we've worked a lot for local authorities who had tenancies which are very sort of long-term anyway, so it's probably an extension already of what we do. So we're quite comfortable with the length of the tenancy, but we try to avoid landlord function as much as we can, if we're honest. We're builders, not property managers.
Great. And was there anything which you really felt was missing from the white paper, which you were really hoping for?
Probably the devil's in the detail. I mean, we've had about 15 months of inactivity due to the last announcement from the last administration around sort of starter homes, and now we're moving to another white paper with more initiatives. So until we get really into detail, the relaxations on planning, obviously we need to see that work in practice and how will that work, and some of the incentives to build as well, how will that wash through in actual real money on the ground. So the $3 billion for small enterprises, how is that going to work? What's the rules on procurement? What's the actual routes to market? So a little bit of the detail to digest before we can sort of comment in full. But I'm sure the devil is in the detail, and it'll be some missing if past experiences are anything to go by.
Indeed. Well, one thing which it was a bit of a surprise, I think, to quite a lot of people, was the sort of watering down of the starter homes policy. The starter homes are not actually going to be mandatory anymore in new developments. Was that something you've had a chance to look at and digest?
I haven't looked in detail, but I'm not surprised, because we've lobbied quite hard that starter homes, whilst a welcome initiative to get people building, there are routes, particularly in the northern part, and we operate quite a lot in the north, where the starter home would actually devalue existing and new developments. So if you're giving sort of double discounts with Help to Buy and then start a home initiatives on top, well, when does a home become sort of too cheap to be affordable? That makes sense. So I'm not surprised by that, because the lack of detail around starter homes from the previous announcements, you know, it just became a very complicated request on planning. So I'm not surprised at all by that announcement.
So ultimately, you think it's a good thing?
I think it's a good thing that it's not mandatory, and I think it's a good thing in some cases where, you know, we can look at Starter Homes Initiative and work with the HC and the other agency to see how we make it work. But, you know, starter homes had its place, but the legislation wasn't quite thought through in the last announcement.
Great, thank you very much.